Let's put Jesus Christ first in our life. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I have called my message first. And just Matthew 6:33 says this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But seek first the kingdom of God. Dear Father, as we have just sung, as we have heard in testimonies, we have seen the scriptures quoted, you gave your best. Lord, challenge our hearts this morning. May you be first in our life. I pray that we, in the busyness of life, would place you first. In our individual lives, in our families, in this church, our community, in this country, may you bless our leaders. Help us to seek after you, your kingdom, and your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a list person, beginning of the week, the beginning of the year, or however you do your list, you put the beginning of the day, put that list together and start working hard to get through that list. And often it's frustrating, isn't it? Because you don't get everything done on that list. But there's one thing I know you can at least start doing, if not completing, whatever you put first on that list. You know, you put the most important thing first on the list. Say, okay, that's what I need to knock out. That's the most important thing that I can do. And so you put that at the top of the list. Maybe you put an A1 by it or a star or whatever, and you say, that's what I've got to accomplish today. That's what I got to do at work. That's got to, has to be what I get done at the house or whatever the case would be. That's what is first. That's what a priority. That's the most important thing that I can do today. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. God wants us to put his kingdom first. And the reality is, God wants us to be kingdom people. And the reality is, all of us are kingdom people. The question is, whose kingdom are we focused on? Maybe we're focused on our kingdom. We're focused on our financial kingdom. Sometimes churches are focused on their kingdom, what they can accomplish. A business is focused on all that they can do. A sports team is wanting their kingdom. Maybe somebody has their social media kingdom. How many likes can I get on Facebook? How many people can share my thought here? How many people are going to follow me on Twitter? Maybe we have an investment kingdom. This is how much I have saved for retirement. This is how much I've put away for a rainy day or for these special days. We tend to all have kingdoms. And God says, I want you to put my kingdom first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not long ago, I did a series on the Lord's Prayer, and we see that earlier in verse 9. And I'd like for us just to pray the Lord's Prayer together right now. If you would pray that in your heart with me out loud right now, I'd really just love to hear us all say, or some people call it the Our Father prayer. Would you join me right here on verse 9 where it says, after this manner pray ye? Let's go. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice verse 10 says this: thy kingdom come. And then look again at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. What we're talking about here is God's kingdom. Now, we all have this personal kingdom. We have a throne in our heart. We have something that we want to rule and to reign. And God says, but I want to be in control. I want first place. To the young people, God's saying, no, I don't want you to sow your wild oats and do your own thing. And one day when you're adult, you know, and you have kids and you can start doing right. No, do right now. God wants control of your life right now. Teenagers, God wants to be in control where you are right now. You don't have to mess your life up and come back. Just do the right thing right now. That's God's plan for our life. He wants to be in control. It's His kingdom. So my question today is, whose kingdom are we trying to build? Who or what is our priority, and how can I tell? What is the litmus test? What is the way to grade our life to determine whether we're really seeking after His kingdom and His righteousness? Well, look back with me at verse 19. Matthew 6:19 says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." One of the first tests is, what do we do with our treasures, earthly treasures? Maybe we have a car that's our treasure. You remember when you got your learner's permit and you're thinking, one day I'm going to drive, and you got your driver's license, and maybe you got that first car and like, finally, I can get out on the road and I can have that. Or you said, man, one day I'm going to have that brand new car. One day I'm going to have this certain specific car that I've been wanting to have these many years. And it could be an antique, could be a brand new car, whatever kind of car it is. When I was in L.A., man, there were Audis and Mercedes. The poor people were driving BMWs around out there. I mean, it was just like kind of crazy. The Teslas everywhere. I mean, all these nice cars that were everywhere. But the reality is, they're going to rust, aren't they? I mean, they're not going to be around forever. That car, you think, man, this is going to fulfill me. It's not. It's temporal. It could be the house that you live in, a certain position or title. It could be a certain number of friends or having a certain kind of family. Or if you're single, you think, man, one day when I get married, then my life's going to be fulfilled and satisfied. Or if I can just have security of finances. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth. Why? Because they're temporal. Everything physically in this earth is just temporal. It's not permanent, and it's not going to satisfy long term. So God said, don't set your focus there. If you want to know if your kingdom focused on God's kingdom, you have to say, all right, it's not about what I have, what I possess, what I can determine, how much money I've set aside, what other people think of me about what I have, as opposed to someone else. How good I am at school, how good I am at sports, how good I am at relationships, or whatever we want to put there. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. I remember 26 years ago when Paul and I came to the area to start Choice, we bought a computer. We didn't know much about computers, but we started researching, and we got a really good computer. I mean, there had been the, you know, early computers, then they came out with a 286 and a 386. We bought a 486 computer. I mean, this thing was nice. I mean, you could get those floppy disks, you know, and put them inside there, and like, what is a floppy disk, you know? You put those in there and store a lot of information, and it had a hard drive, and we got a big enough hard drive. They said, you'll never need this much space in there. I mean, this was before they even heard of having a gigabyte in a computer. Now you're carrying that around in your cell phone. But I mean, this 486, that was a new computer. But I tell you, it isn't very much of that. I mean, the rust, I'm sure, is taking it by now. The moths are eating it. I mean, it is worthless, right? You remember when phones, they used to be kind of different. You know, maybe you have an iPhone 10. You're like, okay, man, that is great. I guess that's the latest and greatest. Maybe there's something since then. But you have that. Or like me, I forgot to bring mine in. I was going to borrow my wife's, and I looked at it. It had a pink cover, and I said, well, I'm not going to carry that. You know, it didn't look too good anyway. But so you have a nice phone, and you know, that phone gets outdated very quickly, doesn't it? I remember before those phones, there was a phone you could kind of open up halfway, and it had a keyboard on there that you could use, or before that, had a flip phone. Anybody still have a flip phone? All right, you still got a flip phone? The 80-year-old still has a flip phone, yeah, you check your text and your Facebook account with all that, right? No, if there was a day when a phone was for phones, right? Yeah, and so it's changed a little bit. But before those cell phones, and my dad was pretty hip back in the late 70s, I guess, he was talking on a walkie-talkie in the company he had, but then he went to a car phone. I mean, the car phone, that was pretty cool. You had to go in and have this thing drilled in. It's in place there. And anybody have a car phone in there? And you had this big antenna, right? I mean, that was pretty high technology. But before that, phones were on the wall or on a desk or something, right? And so I told you some of my favorite stores. And so I got something that I think you'll remember this. I guess we even had one of these when we were first, something like this at least. Here's a phone. And you remember when you can just push a button and call. Mine was 703-356-8929. That was my phone number. If you want to call me from little Timmy Wilcox today, you can do that. And here was the cord, and so if I wanted to talk on the phone in the living room, this telephone was sitting there, and can I have a phone? No, you can't have a phone. If you want to talk on the phone, you go in the living room and talk on the phone, right? And so, you're talking on the phone a little bit. But there was a phone before this. Remember the phone before this? And so that was a pretty cool phone as well. All right, so what is this called? Rotary phone. Somebody said their grandchild saw one of these and was like pushing it and like, how does that work? This is terrible, isn't it? You go, which way do you go here? All right. Right? 3, 5. Man, could you imagine a kid calling on a phone, how long that would take? A rotary phone. I don't even know. This is as old as I get in the 60s and stuff. But you know what? Things get outdated, don't they? Things just don't, I mean, this was high technology in the 60s, but not anymore. I mean, things change, life's change, computers change, phones change, life's change, churches change, communities change, political parties change, schools change, life change, Boy Scouts change, Girl Scouts change. Life is different today than it was, right? It's different today being a 14-year-old than it was when you were 14 years old. Life has just radically changed in our life. Can you imagine how different life is today? And the reality is all these great technologies, they're all temporal. Man, when I came here to start Choice 27 years, there was no internet. Thank God for Al Gore that invented that for us, and so... Some of you are still too young to get. Anyway, I guess I should keep going on. Sports teams change, right, over the years. You have one that's in the Super Bowl, one. The next year, they're not. The reality is, sometimes I'm trying to think of something. When I was in Bible college, someone introduced a pastor and said, young men, this pastor has forgotten more than you'll ever know. And I'm like, that's a stupid statement. But the older I get, I forget a lot of stuff. So I try to remember a verse or think about a concept, theological principle or whatever. I'm like, man, I got to pull some books out and kind of revisit those things. I kind of forget some things. And the older I get, sports are a little more difficult, or losing weight's a little more difficult, or the stamina is not there as well. And so I'm out jogging 5 or 6 miles in the morning. Okay, maybe not, but anyway. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says this. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The reality is just life changes. Things are temporal in this life. You remember in 2008 when investments were going crazy and then a bubble hit. There's a housing bubble. There was the technology bubble. There's all these different kind of bubbles. Kids grow up. Parents and grandparents pass away. Babies don't stay. The reality is life changes. Life is constantly moving. And if we want to place our value in the moment here, it's all temporal. And so God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth because it's all temporal. There's a wonderful verse in Hebrews talking about Jesus. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, he's consistent. Life isn't, but he is. So look at verse 20, Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt, or thieves break through nor steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't lay treasures up on this earth where they're temporal, but place them somewhere where they're permanent. They're not going to end. See, no matter what kind of car you have, it's going to be gone one day. No matter how much money you have in the bank, it's going to be gone one day. Only what's done for Christ will last. So laying up ourselves treasures. How do I know if I'm seeking after God's kingdom and his righteousness? What do I treasure? Where is my heart? What is valuable to me? Is it about my kingdom and what I can get out of this life? Or is it about his kingdom? And he goes on in verse 21 and says this, for. The word for just simply means because. Verse 19, remember he says, don't lay treasures upon the earth because they're temporal. But, verse 20, lay your treasures up in heaven where they're permanent. Why? Verse 21, because or for. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here's the reality. God does not need our abilities. He doesn't. God is the all-powerful. He doesn't need our wonderful skills and abilities, but he wants to use us. God doesn't need our time. It's not, look all that I'm doing for God. The reality is, he doesn't need our time. He is limitless. Time doesn't mean anything to him. And he certainly doesn't need our finances. But those are things that we treasure. We treasure us. We treasure our time. We treasure our money. And God says this. This is what I want. I just simply want your heart. I want your heart. That's what people are looking for in life, relationship, right? They want to have friends, they want to have family, they want to have people that love them, that care for them, that really prioritize them, that give them their heart, that provide that security. And that's exactly what God's saying. He does not need anything that we have. But you know what he wants? One day, God in the Trinity had this perfect relationship. And God said, I have this heart of love that I want to share with a created being. He created the angels, but he didn't give the angels a free will. They do what he says to do. And so he created a being that could choose. Someone that he could love and that they could love him. He wanted that relationship. And God said, I want your heart. That's all that he's looking for. And so he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, I didn't go to Romania. Last week, we heard some wonderful testimonies of a dozen people that went to Romania. And they came back, and you know what? Their heart is in Romania. Much more than me. Why? Because that's where they put their treasure. They put their finances, they put their time, they put their ability, they put their life and poured into them for a two-week period. And guess what happens? Wherever you put your treasure, your heart's going to follow. You see, if you've fallen out of love with your spouse, start pouring treasure into them. You don't feel like serving at church, start pouring your treasure back into it. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I heard a story of a father and son. It was a snowy day, and they went into a store to get something, and on the way out, the boy saw a candy bar, and he took the candy bar without paying for it, and so he took it to his side and was holding on to it so his father wouldn't see it. The snow was coming down. It was getting slippery, and the dad said, "Son, I want you to hold my hand because I don't want you to fall," and the son wouldn't take his hand because he had this candy bar in his hand. He didn't want his father to see the candy bar. He didn't want to let go of the candy bar. And so he said, "No, Dad, I'm fine." And he kept slipping in the snow. He kept falling. And Dad said, "I want you to take my hand." But he wouldn't. He was resisting giving his hand to his father. Why? Because he was holding on to something. When I thought of that story, I thought, what am I holding on to that I don't give my all to my father just to take his hand? And I want to ask you this morning, is there something that you're holding on to? Maybe it's bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your own willfulness. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your family. Whatever it is that you're wanting to put first, is there something that you're holding on to this morning? And God says, "I want you to take my hand. I want to guide you." But instead of putting him first, you're holding on to it. This morning, as we receive communion, I just want to ask you, will you let it go? Is there something in your hand that's limiting your relationship with God? He wants your heart, but what's in your hand this morning? Verse 33 again says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." For just a moment, I want you to think about what's going on in your heart. Your kingdom. Is it about my kingdom or is it about thy kingdom? Is it about what I want or what he wants? See, that's the litmus test. How can I tell? What am I holding on to in this world? Is it a person? Is it a dating relationship? Is it you wanting to do your own thing? And God says, "I want first place in your life. Put me first."